you switched what's mics
poppin'?
On them. There you are.
Hey, that's what's popping. I'm on the wrong mic.
Just use both of them at the same time.
There we go. Damn. That'd be scary for a second. I thought, oh, no, we got a mic short. Wrong mic. My bad. All right. We got the skeleton crew for Sunday night. But it's a quality crew. If I do say so myself. We've got Mark and Jay and Drew on the Drew and Mike podcast.
Yo.
And it's a difficult podcast after the ugliness in Columbus yesterday.
Yep.
Spath's going to join us from MGO Blue, MGO Blog.
No. Right. Scratch that. Edit that out. That's where he's from. I wrote it down for you. So it just slid under the piece of paper I threw. You have a stack of papers in front of you. The piece of paper I threw went under it. There it is.
Jesus
he has
Christ.
He has a real radio job.
Oh! Spath is now the host of Inside the Huddle on Ann Arbor's 1050 WTKA. 10 to 1 weekdays. What's with all these professional broadcasters we're getting on this stupid podcast?
I know.
What's going on?
Great. I'm returning the favor. I'm going to do that show on Tuesday morning.
Really? They allow podcasters on their commercial stations?
Sure. Yeah.
My God, the quality of radio these days.
It's slacking, right?
I guess so. Wow, I don't even know where to start. You know, so I know where I'm going to start. Let's start with thanking people for buying T-shirts and hoodies and caps. Quite a lot of them, but can't do it much longer because the mold is broken.
Yeah.
Monday at midnight, no mas. There may never, I'm saying may, because we're still trying to work this out. They may never produce another T-shirt or hat or hoodie with that logo.
Not
it
with
may
that
never
mold.
Happen.
Nope.
Negotiations are underway. They're getting sticky at times, but right now it doesn't look so good. It looks like we're going to close the orders up at midnight Monday. Now, I'm not saying there won't be possibly some other things available before Christmas. We're trying our best to make something available during the season, shopping season. We know how you are. We know how important this is, so stay tuned. But as far as the initial four items, that order block will be closed at midnight Monday. That's not a joke. It actually will be closed.
Yes. Yep. And they'll be shipped out on December 13th, I believe. So you'll get them in time for Christmas. So you can wear it to that all-important Christmas family event.
Of course. And you can order by going to our website.
Yep. Or Drew, is it Drew Mike Store? Drew and Mike Store.
Shop? I don't know why I thought it was shop. But glad I have my shit together today.
Yeah. DrewandMikeStore.com or DrewandMikePodcast.com. There's a link there.
Yeah. Is it still merchandise?
Yeah. We changed it, remember, from store to merchandise.
That's right.
And it looks so much better.
It's aesthetically more pleasing to the eye.
Fills the space.
It does. Those things are important. Design matters.
Right next to the donate button, which somebody told me, I just turned some people onto your show and all you guys talk about is donations.
Yeah, and?
Like we're televangelists or something.
Oh, please.
You
know what the simple answer is? Don't donate then.
Don't donate. And you know what? If it's that horrible listening to a couple minutes of conversation about how we're going to survive, then don't listen.
They could listen to Tayback Show. Remember that was
all commercial.
Oh, my God. Exactly.
Or any NPR type show, they beg for donations like crazy too.
So. Commercial shows play 16 minutes of commercials an hour. For Christ's sake.
Oh,
people
what a
are
baby.
So fussy.
It's also a podcast. You could skip over it.
Yeah, that's true.
It bothers you that much.
Not to mention, nobody made a dime for 6 months. I could point that out too.
Yep.
Which is why I have, unfortunately, my tolerance for crap or complaints is really small. And if I hit your email and you say the wrong thing at the wrong time, I may just wail.
Now you're just asking for it.
Well, that one guy who said we weren't working hard enough, that if we just did more podcasts or they were longer, that he'd don't. Oh, God. And forget it. I'm not even going to get into it.
I got a nice email from someone that just said, where's that? Just heard on the podcast. You don't get much email. Hello. Okay. Gotta go. Thank you, Anthony. It meant a lot.
Well, yes, we did point out Mark has his own email, so instead of complaining to me about Mark, complain to Mark.
Well, it's amazing. The people that want to complain have no problem finding my email.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, we get a lot of nice email, too. Actually, the majority of the email is great, and I love reading it. And but some of it actually should be even. No, I'm talking about nice email. Some of it should be directed to Mark. So if it's more Mark oriented, send it to Mark at Drew and Mike. M-A-R-C at Drew and Mike Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Also, like to say thanks to people who are probably running into people out on the street too. Ran into John from Commerce Township yesterday, and Rosemary, and people from Sinai Grace last weekend. So they're just like, "Hey, we donated. Love the show." So there's a lot of good.
You may have run into someone named Pat tonight too. I think.
Yeah, did you run into Pat? Patty cakes.
Patty cakes. Tonight, yeah.
At Outback?
Yeah, how did Outback? Yeah.
We already knew about that.
He sent us a picture of you eating.
Oh, great.
Took it on the sly. Oh, there's Jay. Hi, Jay.
It was really funny, too, because, you know, Jay was running behind. We're like, well, we know he's at Outback at 6:33, so.
And then somebody posted they saw you at Kroger. Did you go to Kroger today? In Northville?
No, not today.
Okay. No. Someone said.
Meyer? No, Meyer. Was it Meyer?
Oh, Meyer, maybe. In Northville? Oh. Okay. Someone posted that on the Facebook page. So okay. Apparently they're tracking your every move, Jay.
There's a Jay lookalike at Meyer, apparently.
Yeah.
Exposing themselves. Thought it was Jay, but no, it was not. Hey, so before we kick into the Ohio State, Michigan stuff, or Michigan, Ohio State stuff, I just read the funniest story on the Daily Mail about the tragedy going on in the British monarchy in the UK.
No.
As Prince Harry is stranded on a naval ship that refuses to start.
No, refuses to start.
He's on a Caribbean tour of, I guess, their former colonies or current colonies.
Yeah.
And I guess they're going to Grenada, and the vessel refuses to start, which is funny. A lot of the comments were, oh, refuses to start. Well, you know, why don't they try punishing it or giving it a time out?
Ask him very nice. Yeah.
So they really act like this is such a big deal. And then it's so funny, though, you get to the comments and like, I think I saw a chopper on that ship. Couldn't you just take the chopper? It's only 100 miles to Grenada.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure he doesn't want it to start since he was busted bowing his head in a moment of silence for Fidel Castro?
Oh.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't. Harry?
Yeah, the guy that's on the tour, the one prince that's on the tour. They had a moment of silence for the death, which is, come on, it's a little ridiculous having a moment of silence for Fidel Castro.
Amen.
But he bowed his head, and some people were really pissed.
Well, I just find this whole thing.
What's he supposed to do? You're somewhere, and they're like, let's not have a moment of silence. You're supposed to just yell out, he was a brutal dictator that shot many.
I don't know. What does anyone do? I don't think half the time when people ask for a moment of silence, most of the people who are listening don't even know what it's for, but they just give it anyway.
Yeah.
Ah, you ain't dead.
So it's not really his fault. It's like, I don't know what he'd do.
So another comment, by the way, was, oh, he should call his dad for help, James Hewitt. He does look incredibly funny.
Yeah.
And then another part of the story, which people were so pissed about, was they were saying there are periods, even 20 hours at a time, when he cannot call his girlfriend, Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
Because his phone service doesn't work on the ship.
Really?
But of course, the ship has many a satellite, and it's kind of hard to believe Prince Harry wouldn't have access to a satellite phone, isn't it?
That's his excuse.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk to her.
Hey, baby, I can't call you. I'll be out to shore.
Your cell phone blows.
Yeah, my cell service just sucks.
Later.
Even though I'm fifth in line for the crown.
She's caused quite a stir because she's divorced. No!
And she's biracial.
Oh! Oh, yeah, because nobody in the monarchy ever was attracted to someone of a different race.
Oh, no.
Never. Oh, that's so good.
They thought that was relegated to that crazy Diana. But,
oh, yeah, that's right, Dodi.
But he is 50% Diana, so.
Hey.
But the funny thing about this whole deal is, you know, this story really was
50% Hewitt.
It was being presented as this horrible, I mean, what are they going to do? They've got all these plans in Grenada. It's like, it's Harry. He's fifth in line for the throne.
He's
if
fine.
Anyone can be held up for a day and not fuck their life up, it's Harry.
Yeah, what does he do anyway? It's like he has a job to get to.
He doesn't have a job. What is his job, technically?
Being him, being
right,
himself.
Being Harry, so he can be Harry on the ship.
Going and being put in awkward moments of silence.
What is the chance of Harry ever having the throne?
Oh, very little.
I mean, nil. Almost
very, very
fifth
little.
In line.
Yeah.
But this is what I was racking my brain. I mean, I feel silly racking my brain about this. How is he fifth? There's Charles, the father, right?
Yes.
His brother.
Yep.
He's second, right? Is he second? Oh, wait. Are his brother's kids?
The kids are next, yep. Remember, they changed it to allow a woman, too.
Oh.
So I believe it's the two kids, then him.
Why wouldn't he be ahead of those two fucking kids?
George, because it's linear. It's straight lineage. He had, right down.
Wait a second.
But Princess Charlotte is ahead of him, I believe, because they changed it to let a woman or a female.
Why would the grandkids be ahead of the kid, though? Because
it's oldest born, man. I don't know why.
Well, now, what if?
Why do they get to be king and queen anyway? It doesn't exist. It's so not a
stupid
thing.
I can't. That's what I mean. I couldn't believe I was racking my brain about this. I never dreamed those brats were ahead of him.
Aren't they just really mascots for the country?
Nobody understands it.
That's really what they are. They're just mascots. But they, for some reason, they live on longer than, say, you know, there still is a king and queen of Denmark, but nobody cares about because it's Denmark.
Well, we talked about this. They bring in so much tourism.
They're mascots.
I mean, you go, yeah, they're mascots. They are. But it's
just
funny.
Like just like we have Kim and Kanye. They're our United States mascots.
Yeah, they suck up a lot of money, too. Actually, the country does give them a lot of dough.
Yeah, but at least it's not taxpayer.
So he's behind those brats. Now, what if his brother dies? Does he move ahead of the brats?
No. George.
What if the brother dies before Charles? I mean, before Charles even takes over?
Then Charles is first.
But Harry wouldn't be second if his brother died?
I don't think so. No. It would be Georgie, that baby king.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Unless he abdicates the throne, then it switches to the brother, right? If there's no kids. Because then does Edward do that?
Abdicated when he was married, when he married Wallace Simpson, an American divorcee.
Thrice divorced. We must move to Paris.
I will renounce the crown.
My country doesn't want me, so I don't want my country.
Wallace Simpson, the scandalous woman from America.
I know all my British monarch history from The King's Speech.
Oh, from the movie. Ah, yes.
Right? That was all in the movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
But he had no kids, so then it went to his younger brother.
Right. Okay.
Who is George.
Okay, we're done with Harry.
Well, not like none of them have a last name either.
Windsor. Their last name's Windsor.
All of them?
Well, I think they have to. I think they changed their name because that was a big deal when Queen Elizabeth took over because she had a different name because Philip was Greek or German or something like that. And he didn't want her to change her name. She's like, fuck you, I'm the queen, man. We're going by Windsor, all right?
You know what used to fuck me up was when they refer to them as HRH. I'm like, HRH? What the hell is that?
I know.
HRH.
I know.
Oh, her royal highness. Ooh.
It's a little ridiculous. SCOTUS POTUS.
Oh, yes, POTUS. That took me. I figured out POTUS about a year ago, I think.
Don't forget of FLOTUST.
POTUS, I actually figured out when I tuned in the satellite channel POTUS.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a satellite channel for the President of the United States.
I knew what SCOTUS was because that's how it always, in the early days of radio, with the actual wire, the AP wire.
Wait, SCOTUS? What's SCOTUS?
Supreme Court of the United States. So anytime they had a ruling, it would say SCOTUS, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what's SCOTUS?
Just say Supreme Court.
Well, because it's the wire, so they have to save space.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay.
Whatever.
How many spaces they save? Yeah, they save a few. Okay, second really dumb story of the day after Harry. It's a close. It might even be first.
We got to get to Spath.
Of course. Did you hear about Rosie O'Donnell and Trump's kid?
Yeah.
Can you fucking believe that idiot?
Her?
Yes.
Or the people?
Her.
Well, what exactly did she say?
She thinks that Trump's kid, Barron, is autistic.
But she's serious about it.
Well, she says she's serious. I mean, I believe she's serious, but she's not a doctor.
Okay.
She's never even met the kid.
That's where my confusion lied, whether or not she was being comedian Rosie O'Donnell or just
idiot Rosie O'Donnell. No, she's serious.
Because if you and I said, that kid was on the stage election. It looks like he's autistic. I mean, most people know that.
I thought he looked tired.
Oh, that kid was exhausted. That's just
It was 3 a.m, but to say based on the way he clapped that she thinks he's autistic.
What does she know?
Well, you know, if he is or he isn't, I mean, that's really fucked up. He's a 10-year-old kid.
Did Trump tweet about it yet?
No, he hasn't tweeted about it, but I can't wait.
Can we just start ignoring his tweets?
Not the Rosie. Can we just see the Rosie tweets and then maybe he can stop?
I guess.
What was really funny was the difference between his tweets and Obama's tweets about Castro.
Yeah, I know. Oh, they're official.
Trump's really more on target, if you ask me.
They're official statements. Well, they're both right. I mean, you would hope that our president would have Obama would point out that, yeah, the guy's kind of a brutal dictator, but okay, sure, it's about the Cuban people, and vice versa. The funny thing was at the end of Trump's statement, it ended up being about himself and all the Cuban people that voted for him.
What?
He's an at least come back to you.
Okay, is it Spath time?
Yeah, he's on the road.
Spath from WTKA?
Ann Arbor's. Yep, 1050.
AM 1050.
Fun fact, that was my first paying job in radio.
Is that right? What'd you do there?
I did public affairs stuff.
Hello?
Boring.
I
Spath!
That's a job.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
How's the radio gig going, man?
You know, it's going pretty well. It certainly would have helped if they would have kept the momentum going this weekend. I'll tell you that much, though.
Yeah, you'd have another game to talk about.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, another game, another, like, a playoff to talk about. They really screwed me on that one. It's all their fault.
Wait, are you only employed for football season?
No. I'm just kidding. I'm employed for the whole year. It's just, you know, I live in Ann Arbor. There's only Ann Arbor, Michigan sports to talk about. And the basketball team, the hockey team,
Yeah, so great. Football moves the needle, obviously.
Really, basketball doesn't, people don't get fired up about basketball if they're hot?
You know what, if they're hot, I think people are pretty excited after the first four games, honestly, Drew, but then, you know, I think they had a bad loss last week, and then with the football, I think it'll take people a couple of weeks before they really move on to basketball season just because of the football hangover, to tell you the truth.
Well, they have some big, basketball has some big ranked games in December against UCLA. Yeah, so whatever.
Well, when football's hot, I understand that. Of course, Michigan football is such a huge deal, which is really one of the reasons this game was so cool, because it was a classic Michigan-Ohio State football game, just like the best of the best of Woody and Bo. Would you not agree?
It was really good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's the first time in the history of the program that it had gone into overtime, the game had gone into overtime. You know, I think there were certainly lulls during the game or in the third quarter where neither team was really doing much. But if you look in terms of, like, the drama of this one, the fourth quarter, the double overtime, I mean, this ranks right up there with the 2006 game, with the 95 game, with the 97 game, some of the best of the best. The only bad part, if you're a Michigan fan, of course, is that they lost. And they lost in 2006, and they lost in 2012. And they lost in 2013 on the, you know, when Devin Gardner went for two.
42-41.
In 2008, and they lost in 2009, and they lost in 2004, and they lost in two. I mean, we just keep going on and on. I mean, it's just getting really old. Like, just beat this team.
Yeah,
but it's pretty clear that the next 13 games are not going to be won 12 times by one school. In my opinion, I think that's pretty clear at this point. You got two of the greatest coaches who are now part of this. It's reminiscent of Woody and Bo, really, I think.
Well, that's probably true, Drew. But I mean, like, at some point, we got to stop talking about what's going to happen in the future, and you just got to win the darn game.
Yep.
I mean, I remember after the 2006 World Series, you know, my brother and I went to game. I think game two. That was at Comerica Park that they won, and we talked about, like, well, don't worry about it. They'll get one in the future. And then after the 2012 season, it's like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. This team is built for the long haul. Well, here we are now. 4 years later, and the Royals have a world championship, and the White Sox have a world championship, and what do the Tigers have? They have nothing. Yeah. And for me, it's like, when you look at Michigan, you got to win in the present. You're right there. You have a chance to accomplish a Big Ten title. You have a chance to go to the playoffs. We don't know how this is going to happen in the future. You've got to take care of business right now.
No, I'm with you all the way, and it was a hugely disappointing game, and you know, obviously we're going to talk about the officiating, but what is most upsetting to me, as a Michigan fan, and I'm not a fan like you guys are, but just as viewing it from afar, but also from very close, is that Michigan gave away 17 to 21 points. It was almost a rout if Michigan doesn't make three huge mistakes in that game.
Absolutely, absolutely. They have. I mean, we can talk about officiating. I know that we will in just a few minutes. And were they incompetent? Yeah, probably, but. Yeah, I mean, you give them 14 points. I look at 14 points. I look at the interception was returned for a pick six. You look at the interception that was returned down to the 15-yard line, and two plays later they were in the end zone. You know, those are the biggest plays of the game for me. And two plays before the second interception, Michigan throws a screen pass, picks up about 30 yards of a screen pass, and Mason Cole puts his hands in a guy's face and takes an unnecessary face mask penalty. You know, for an offensive line that really didn't play very well, to have one moment where you could have done something really nice and instead you have an unmitigated disaster. They have nobody to blame themselves. I mean, that third quarter, they really should have salted that one away. They're up 17-7. They're playing really good football. They're moving the ball on this team. And then they just go into a complete lull. And they had every opportunity to win this football game. and they just couldn't do it. And that's been the story of this program the last 2 years, really. You go back to the Michigan State game. They had the ball with, what, a minute and a half to go and couldn't get the first down. They go back to the Iowa game. They had the interception. The defense came up big. They couldn't salt it away. And here it was, another opportunity with offense, and especially that offensive line, had a chance and couldn't get the job done again. And, I mean, it's becoming a broken record, honestly.
One thing you left out, I want you to take over, Mark, because I know you have so much to say about this, but you did not mention the fumble on the two-yard line, which was 3 to 7 points.
But I think that was a trade-off, you know, though.
That's a trade-off because the very next possession, Ohio State goes for it on fourth down, yeah, on a punt. Michigan comes down and scores to the 20-yard line. If they don't fumble, they don't get the ball back on the 20-yard line and score on the next possession. So I kind of look at that as like a little bit of a wash. I mean, the way that the team was not moving the football in the third quarter,
yeah.
I mean, if they would have scored there, then they kick off to Ohio State, they get the ball back, they don't do anything with it. So at some point, they were going to get a touchdown in there. I understand where people are pointing into that, but I think they got the touchdown. They just blew momentum. But a game like a play like that, just, I mean, it takes away confidence. And so in that way, I can understand. But I don't. I think that was kind of a wash.
I got it.
Yeah,
I
think that's a good point. It did take away a lot of confidence because the goal line offense was atrocious. And I mean, that's a good defense that they're facing. I do want to say the Mason Cole penalty, you do agree that was a good call. I think that goes without saying.
It was a good call.
Yeah.
One of the few good calls in the game, but yes, that was a good call. I mean, you can't put your hand on the guy's face and not. It's one thing, Mark and Drew, I mean, you know this too. Like if you get your hand up there real quick and you pull it away, maybe it doesn't get called. But I mean, his hand was in the guy's face for like 3 seconds.
Well, if it's Iowa, it gets called though.
It just didn't make sense either. It's like, why are you doing that? It wasn't one of those inadvertent things.
Right. I mean, you outweigh the guy by 180 pounds. Like, just put your hands into his shoulder and knock him over.
Well, I guess we can talk about the officiating, and the spot is what everybody wants to talk about. But I counted seven questionable play calls that could have gone either way, and I felt they all fell to Ohio State's side, which is just unusual. The pass interference, both pass interferences, one being called, one not being called.
You think the uncatchable call that Harbaugh pointed out was that bad?
I don't have a problem. I really don't have a problem with them calling that.
I didn't really either.
I don't have a problem with them calling that.
But you got to call the other one.
They call the exact same one on the other side.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if you say Delano Hill interfered with him, he had the arm around him, he knocked him over. Okay, you know what? A lot of times that gets called. Was it a catchable ball? I would say this because I draw a line of sight. It wasn't going to be caught, but it might have still been a catchable ball.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I wish they would call that. When they came out with that rule, I was like, oh, that's fantastic. Less interference calls. But I don't think they call that uncatchable thing often enough, but I would not expect them to call it on that play.
I don't know if I want an official judging what could be caught and what can't be caught when you have people like Odell Beckham Jr. who can catch ridiculous balls, though. But the fact, like you said, they didn't call it when Grant Perry on the third that led to the field goal in the second overtime. I don't know how you call one and not the other. Harbaugh echoed that. I thought in the first quarter there was a defensive holding call on Channing Stribling where the guy basically tackled him, and then two possessions later, Darbo, I believe, gets tackled by one of their guys, and there's no flag.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, that's the inconsistency argument. Like, if you're going to call the one on Stribling, like, I got no problem with that. No problem with that because, yes, he got his hands on him. Yes, he kind of, you know, they kind of like were fighting each other, but they pulled each other to the ground. Okay, call the penalty. But you can't watch Amara Darbaugh 6-8 yards down the field getting, like, hog-tied to the ground. And then the referee, when you see Harbaugh on the sideline going up the referee and the guy's like shaking his head like, no. You know, I want to, with the officiating, I want to believe that the officials really are blind, because if they looked at the plays and then just decided not to throw the flags, then they're corrupt. If they just didn't see it, then they're blind. And I'd much rather be okay with them being blind than corrupt.
That's a great point. Now, there's the issue, and a lot of fans want to point this out, like the back judge has been quoted that he grew up an Ohio State fan. That quote goes back to 2002. And, you know, that would be a guy that's throwing the flag on some pass interferences. Then you have the lead official who has been reprimanded before. And I think the side judge is in the Ohio High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. Is that unusual to have, like, so many guys that would be from one place reffing a game like that?
Well, you know what, there's what, 9 officials on the field at any one time, or 7 officials on the field at any one time? I think it's 9. So I don't know. I mean, honestly, how many times have you ever looked up where the officials are from?
Only when they mess up.
Only when you mess up. Like, you don't really care. I mean, how many of the officials were from Michigan? Like, no one actually put that out there because Michigan fans aren't looking up. But I bet you there's probably an official from Michigan that was in that crew. And there's, I mean, if they're pulling these officials from the Big Ten country, you're going to have people that referee a Michigan Penn State game. There's a guy from Pennsylvania. It's just going to happen.
How are the officials? How are the officials selected for the game?
You know what? I'm not really honestly sure. I think what it probably should come down to is the Big Ten looks at the importance of the game and says, okay, this is our best officiating crew, and this is the one that's going to work it. If it's just randomly assigned, then that's the travesty, because why would you just randomly assign, oh, it's the Michigan Ohio State game, it's number three versus number two, and we're going to put our, we pull it out of a hat, and the sixth best officiating crew is going to end up doing it. That would be stupid. So I don't really know the answer to that.
I would not be shocked if they were randomly assigned the way Delaney, everything's got to look, have the appearance of being equal. Would you be surprised if they were randomly assigned? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't be surprised, but I mean, if they are, let's face it, then that's incompetence right there.
Do you consider officiating to be a problem in the Big Ten generally?
You know what, Drew? I think officiating is bad across the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the NBA Finals, people complain about that. You look at the NFL, people complain about that. You look at the NHL, people complain about that. People complain about officiating because it's a thing to do and because we have access to, you know, 50 cameras except the one that shows the right on the fourth down line. But you have so many replays, you have so many slow-mo replays that we all think officiating is just terrible. But if it's terrible, then it's apparently terrible across every major sport because everybody complains about it all the time. And I don't necessarily think it's that bad as much as we just have so much more access. Mm-hmm. To say how terrible it is.
Well, yeah, and all the changes, the calls that are changed, and the reviews. It's. I would not want to be an official these days because you know it's constantly pointed out, and the technology is fantastic, generally speaking.
I'd love to know what you guys think about this regarding the spot on the fourth down play. I feel like people are skewed because of the yellow line that was on the TV. When the yellow line's not what matters, it's the 15-yard line because the series starts on the 25. So a lot of people say, oh, he's over the yellow line. The yellow line is what matters. But you will never convince me that that ball reached the 15-yard line. And maybe that's confirmation bias, but I just don't think it got there.
I don't know that it ever got there, but I know that the angles that we were privy to on replays on the TV broadcast, if those are the same angles and they're supposed to be that the officiating crew saw, then there's not a definitive angle that shows it that it didn't get there. But I mean, you know, the picture that was making its way around Twitter today that I actually retweeted, is a picture straight on the line. Not that like the crazy hashtag thing that Ohio State fans are all using to verify that he got there, because the hashtags are clearly on a slant, which means it's coming from an angle.
Yeah.
But there's one that's like right on the 15-yard line, and it looks like his momentum has stopped. He's hit by the guy, and he looks like he's about 6 inches behind the line. So if But you know what? They don't use still photography in their replay. Mm-hmm. They don't. They use video, and there was not a video replay that could confirm it. I don't think he got there, but, you know, and that's where the side judge comes into play. I mean, I don't know that the side judge is, again, like, that he's on a take. I certainly don't think that's the case. But I think what happens there, and we're going to, you know, I'm going to talk to an official this week about it, is I think what happens is you're the guy, and you're coming down, and you're like, I didn't see 100%, and it's really close. I'll just give him the benefit of the doubt because that's what I do. And if the defense is good enough, they'll stop him because they still have 15 yards to go. And that's a lot to process for an official in a split second. But I think that's how it works, because I think so often they give him the benefit of the doubt, even if they don't see it 100%.
Well, studies have also showed on big controversial plays, they tend to fall in favor of the home team simply because the crowd is there, whether it's adrenaline, whether if it's just the biases of the crowd. But that's just almost the way the chips fall.
Did you guys see the Sports Cave today?
No, I didn't.
Channel 7?
I have not been, no.
They had one. It was kind of an aerial shot, and it looked very close. Honestly, I just, you know, it wasn't up there for long, so it didn't really. I don't even think they were analyzing the play at the time, but they showed it, and it looked very, very close. And I kind of go back to the line, and this is what I expected Harbaugh to say after the game, that if the officials make the difference, you didn't do enough. It should never be left in the hands of the officials. You got to do more to win the game. And And
that was
the
game
is,
right there, though. If he was short, the game's over.
Well, yeah, it was, but that's what I mean. If the game is up to the officials deciding if something was 6 inches or not 6 inches, then maybe you didn't do enough to win the game. And I'm not criticizing Michigan. Michigan played
game. That doesn't mean they did enough to win the game, though.
Yeah, you know, I
know what you're saying. I think that is applicable to all the other calls in the game.
I just think talking about only the officials after this football game is crazy. And I'm surprised that Harbaugh only did that. I hope at some point he says, you know what, they're a great football team, and they played a great game, and we played a great game. And, you know, of course he didn't like the officiating. I knew he was going to say that. Well, I truly thought, and this is not to take the if you guys want to continue talking about the officiating, that's fine. I truly thought one of the big turning points of that game was Harbaugh's unsportsmanlike conduct, which I thought was really one of the shittiest calls in that game, because I've seen guys throw clipboards and headsets.
I've never seen a 15-yard sideline penalty without a warning first.
Yeah, I haven't either. I'll say one thing about the Harbaugh post game, because, I mean, at first my reaction was, I cannot believe he just spent 8 minutes talking about the officials and didn't talk about his team, didn't give Ohio State credit, the whole thing. But I'll say this, Harbaugh has been very, very good at playing the game the right way, especially when it comes down to criticizing his criticism of his kids. And do you know what no reporter asked after that game? Do you know what no one talked about after that game?
The interceptions.
No one talked about the fact that the interceptions. No one talked about the fact that Michigan went in this gigantic lull. No one blamed Michigan's players. So if his goal was to deflect the criticism of his team, he accomplished that masterfully. And I think that a lot of it did have to do with that. I think he was also ticked off. But then, yeah, so I think.
What about giving Ohio State credit? That's not, I mean, not giving Ohio State any credit just seems like bad sportsmanship.
No, I agree. I can't.
I've heard the same. We lost you. You kind of cut out of us there. I've heard the same thing that it was a strategy to take focus off of Wilton Spate or whatever. I don't know. In the end, we all saw the game. We know what happened. We know if you want to pin the blame on one person, we know who to blame it on, or we know, certainly have our candidates. I don't think that necessarily works. Maybe it's a nice thing to do.
He had battled the refs all game. I think that was just at the forefront of his head more than anything.
But I do think
he was honestly bitterly disappointed.
I do think that call, the crowd went absolutely apeshit, and Ohio State blocked very well in the next two downs and got into the end zone. I thought if they had been on the 13-yard line, now the defensive offsides was certainly not helpful. I thought Michigan was going to hold them to a field goal. I just thought they can't score.
They've been good all year at red zone defense, right? Yeah. So give them a chance and let them make a stand. And yeah, I think Harbaugh would be, you know, I think Harbaugh maybe in his Monday press conference will say, hey, you know what? That's on me. Like I put my kids in a bad situation. I put my kids in a bad spot. I still have never seen. I agree with you guys. I've never seen that call in my life. And a couple weeks ago, West Virginia, Dana Holgorsen got in an official's face like nothing I've ever seen before, and was throwing a tantrum that was on epic proportions. Like he kept on like glowering. I mean, he was like putting his finger right in the guy's face and like calling and saying things to him. And I thought that should have been flagged. To flag Harbaugh for throwing his clipboard or his play sheet up in the air. I mean, come on! Like, how many times has he done that all season and never gotten called on it?
I've seen Frank Beamer do it, for Christ's sake. I've seen lots of coaches do it.
If he's pissed off at him doing that, that's why they do, you know, sideline warning. You know,
right?
You publicly announce it and you warn them. I've never seen a flag without the warning. I do want to criticize Harbaugh on one thing, and I know it was quickly addressed in the post game press conference. But I thought after they scored the touchdown on fourth down, they should have gone for two right then and there. The way Ohio State in two plays scored in the first overtime and the way the team looked kind of gassed on defense, I would have just gone for two, and then it's in your hands where you make the decision.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, actually. In fact, I think I tweeted that out, like they should go for two, and people thought I was nuts.
No.
But you know what? In a situation like that where you're on the road and you've got to keep on scoring and your offense is in a position where, you know, let's face it, the offense is not humming along here.
They had three straight drives, too.
Yeah, and if you're exactly so, why not go for it?
Absolutely,
take a chance. Maybe even the playoff committee rewards you for being gutsy, even if you don't get it. You know, call your best play call and go for it. I don't know. Here's the thing: is that after that game, we can sit there and second guess a lot of different things. At the end of the day, they just didn't. They had an opportunity to salt it away. They didn't make the plays. Mm-hmm. The officiating didn't help, but it wasn't the reason they lost the game. You know, they don't have the three turnovers. They don't have the pick six. I mean, we keep on going back and keep on saying, like, what if this, what if that? That's what just should drive Michigan fans crazy, is Michigan was in control of their destiny, up 17-7, and they didn't get it done. And that's just what this rivalry has become, is them not getting it done. It was every opportunity to do so. There are a lot of games over the last 15 years you can look at where Michigan was winning in the second half, or Michigan was, at least on paper, equal or the better team, and didn't win. And that's what it's become over and over and over again, is Michigan having opportunities and wasting them.
I know you got to get going, but where do you expect them to be ranked on Tuesday night when the playoff rankings come out?
I'll tell you what, this is the most interesting thing in the world to me, because we're going to find out real quick here what the committee thinks of Michigan. If they're ranked fifth, if they put Clemson, Washington, Ohio State, and Alabama ahead of them, if they're ranked fifth, I think they have a realistic chance and making the playoff if Washington or Clemson loses.
Yep.
If they're ranked seventh and they're behind either Wisconsin or Penn State, then there's no way they'll be able to jump one of those two teams when one of those teams wins the Big Ten championship. But based on the fact that when they lost to Iowa on the road, they didn't fall at all in the college football playoff rankings, and based on the fact that they went to double overtime on the road against the number two team in the country and were the better team for most of that game, I have this sneaking suspicion that they're going to end up fifth in the rankings come Tuesday night, and it's going to lead to a ton of conversation, and it's going to lead to a lot of panic if you're a Badger or a Nittany Lion fan,
yeah,
that we can win this game on Saturday and it's not going to make a difference.
It's going to lead to a lot of conspiracy theories that they just bring eyeballs to the TV and they want them in there.
It's also going to bring a lot of pissing and moaning to only four teams in the playoff. Why not eight teams? Yeah.
But I love four because of games like Saturday, because of games like Michigan State at Ohio State last year. It makes the regular season just that big.
You know, and I tell you what, the interesting thing
I say the same thing about baseball.
That,
yeah.
The interesting thing to me about that is when you look at, the ratings and the whole thing, no, it shouldn't come into play, guys know it's not supposed to come into play. But if you end up with Penn State as the team that represents the Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson and Alabama, and Penn State's the fourth seed and they're playing Alabama. And what did Michigan State lose last year? 49-0?
30,
I mean, it's going to be worse. It's going to be like 70-0 in that game, and no one's going to watch it. And they're already complaining about the ratings, the fact that it's on New Year's Eve. Or you can create a scenario where you put Michigan, Ohio State to play each other, or Michigan to play Alabama in the first round game. I tell you what, like I'm not a big conspiracy person, but if you're the playoff committee and you're looking at those scenarios, I think you have a hard time not putting Michigan ahead of Penn State for that very reason.
People keep focusing on the whole conference champion because they've said that in the past, and that's what screwed over the Big 12. But I think people keep forgetting to point out that the committee loves advanced metrics, and they love strength of schedule. That's been huge, and both those things weigh into Michigan's favor.
But if the third place team in a conference, 2 and 3 make it and one doesn't, how bizarre would that be?
Well, that loss to Pitt is huge, you know. And
they beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
What's the criteria at the end of the day? Isn't it supposed to be the four best teams in the country to play for the playoff?
Yep. Now, it does hurt Michigan that they're 1-2 in their last three. You know. But if you win the
conference championship, you don't have to beat either one of the two best teams in the Big Ten to win it. I guess if they beat Ohio State, like in the championship game, Penn State doesn't have to beat the two best teams in the conference to win it. I mean, I don't know.
They'd be one to get there, though.
It'll help if that's a really ugly, bad, lazy, lousy game.
If it's like 17-13 and Penn State wins.
Yeah.
I like Michigan's chances. I'll I do play too. That much.
Yeah, what if Penn State
with
wins
Colorado 40? With a Colorado win? Then that would be huge because that helps Michigan as well.
What if Penn State wins 49-3? Does it really make that big a difference?
I think so.
I think so. Yeah.
Over Wisconsin.
I think there's pretty points here, or glamour points, or whatever the silly phrase is.
Yeah. Okay. So is Beth? He's in a rush.
Yeah, I think he's got it. You got more things to do, don't you?
I mean, I have more things to do, but I've got a couple more minutes. Whatever you guys want to talk about, it's fine.
Okay, I got one more question for you. Where's Eddie McDoom on Saturday?
You know what? The last couple of weeks, they've really kind of trimmed down the roster, except at the running back position, right? I mean, how many times did you see Rashawn Gary or Chase Winovich? I think you saw them a little bit more because of, like, the exhaustion factor, but they haven't been playing as much the last couple weeks because they've been trusting the seniors. And I think when you look at, they ran the jet sweep, twice on Saturday with J.U. Chesson?
Both Chesson,
and you didn't see a lot of the young guys. Grant Perry, who has been in the doghouse for a couple weeks, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, because of the guy that they has proven himself reliable in the past, was in there if, as a third wide receiver as opposed to somebody else. I think they were like, okay, hey, biggest game of the year, we're going with the guys that we trust and count on versus someone that could make a big mistake.
I thought Grant Perry played well, except for running into the punter, which led to the
And he didn't do a good enough job on that pass interference.
I mean, I guess.
Let's face it, that's his fault for not. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Guys, what about Harbaugh not using the last timeout? And of course, it's unfortunate you piss a couple away and you only got one left, but he still could have saved about 25 seconds at the end of that game.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's fair. Especially with the way the return went by Jordan Lewis.
Yeah,
I thought he should have called a timeout when they got the stop on, was it third down and there were like 38 seconds to go, or maybe even second down they got. I think he was thinking he didn't want to give the kicker any, like, he wanted to put all this pressure on the kicker that you have to make a last second field goal as opposed to a field goal with 35 seconds to go. I don't know. That'd be a good question for Jim. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he got asked that because all he talked about was the officiating on Saturday. So.
And you hate to get down to that point in the game, too, and only have one timeout left. I mean, that's just, pissed him away. But
I don't remember what he used him for.
It was a formation thing on the final drive, I think. Or the Dramies drive before.
I think one was on, I can't remember. Oh, well, whatever.
But what about the play calling? I thought it just was a little vanilla. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's just stupid of me. I'm probably reading the paper too much. I just expected a little wrinkle or two, or it just seemed real vanilla.
I agree.
Well, I think at this point, the question is, what did they do with Jabril Peppers this year?
Yeah, nothing.
Like, was there anything outside of the long run he had against Rutgers, that 63-yard touchdown where he essentially just out-athleted them? Like, when did they use Peppers in any way that seemed like it was productive? I mean, he averaged, take away the Rutgers run, he averaged 4 yards per carry on, I think it was on 26 carries for them this year. If you're an explosive, big threat, big talent, 4 yards per carry is pathetic. Like, yep. Wide receivers on reverses and stuff like that average 11, 12, 13 yards per carry. They didn't do anything with him. He never threw the ball. Every single time that he got in there, he kept the ball. I mean, it was a waste. Like, I think Jabril Peppers offensively was wasted this year.
Can he catch a screen pass? Or, I mean,
I think
something?
He's got good enough hands. Yeah. I have no idea what they're doing with him. I think the offensive play calling.
Yeah, the throwback where he threw back to
Spurs. Yeah, okay, so he threw the ball once. But the offensive play calling, I think sometimes being the smartest one in the room is to the detriment of Michigan, because instead of, like, what does Michigan do well right now? Let me ask you that question. That's the question I've been asking all year. What's this offensive identity? What does this Michigan team do well? No one has been able to tell me what they do because they've never given anybody an opportunity to figure it out. They can't run the do they run the football?
No.
You know what? They were not very good, but you know what? Did they ever get a real strong chance to ever develop the running game? Are they a great passing team? Well, sometimes they can be. Do they have dynamic players? Yeah, sometimes. I mean, they just never establish an identity. And I think if you're six games in the season, you're still trying to figure it out, okay. You're 12 games in the season, and you're playing Ohio State, and you're in the fourth quarter or the third quarter, and you're up 17-7. Like, all right, it's time to go to your strength. But what is this team's strength? Nobody knows.
I really hate, and Drew, you can attest this, I hated the third down and goal call where they had Peppers in. That blew my mind because you knew what he was going to do.
Yep.
And so did Ohio State.
Predictable.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
I asked Mark about this, and Mark wasn't too keen on it. I feel like, and, you know, talking about this Ohio State game and how Michigan just doesn't win the fucking game, it just, you know, you can analyze any which way you want, but the fact is, and I agree with you, you know, you got to win the damn game one of these times. You got to just win it.
Hey, you know what? The stars are going to align at some point in the next 20 years. At that point, Michigan will win that game, and then we can stop talking about how the fact that the stars need to align for this to happen. Just win the damn game.
Okay.
It's that simple.
My point was, though, that it's okay. No, because I agree with you entirely, but how many times has Michigan been hurt by the fact that Ohio State had a dual-threat quarterback, and does it hurt Michigan not to have a dual-threat quarterback in 2016?
Well, I mean, they had a dual-threat quarterback for like 5 years between Denard Robinson and Devin Gardner and won them one game. So I don't know that they need to have a dual-threat quarterback. I don't know that a dual-threat quarterback in that game yesterday wins the game. You don't throw two bad interceptions and you win the game.
But what turned Ohio State around? Barrett's 41-yard run and not to mention
run. Yeah.
All his other runs.
Yeah, but most of his runs, his big runs, were on scrambles, on passes. His design runs or the option runs did not go that well. The big run where Peppers was chasing him, that was on a scramble from quarterback.
Right. If you look to answer your question, Drew, it's been too many, right? I mean, Troy Smith did it for 3 years. Then Braxton Miller did it a couple times. Terrell Pryor did it a couple. Terrell Pryor was 3-0 against him. Braxton Miller was at least 1-0 against him. I think JT Barrett was 3-0 against him. So you're looking at, what is that, 4-7, 10-0. Mobile quarterbacks at Ohio State are 10-0 against Michigan, I think. Maybe 10-1 because Braxton Miller was a starting quarterback 1 year.
Denard won a game against Ohio State, didn't he? Win one?
Right, 2011, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the Luke Fickell year.
And the Gardner teams were just shitty teams for the most
part. The play nobody's talking about, the one that still blows my mind, is 3rd and 14, 15 in the second overtime, and they throw that little swing pass out to out of Curtis Samuel, he runs around for at least like 20 seconds.
Bumps into his own guy.
Yeah, they have a chance to take him down three different times that would have been a loss of yards. Then you would have had 4th and 12, 4th and 15, and they have to kick the field goal, and they have to see. Instead, he worms his way and gets all the way up to the 1-inch line. We can't put this loss on the defense. We certainly can't, because the defense played lights out for essentially for four quarters until they got gassed at the end when they're on the field for, 18 minutes of the second half. But you make that play right there, and I mean, that's what it keeps going to come back to. We can talk so much about this and that and this, but they had so many opportunities to make the plays offensively, defensively, and they just didn't. Mm.
Yeah, that was an absolute freak play. I never thought that guy was going to be close to getting a first down by the time that play was over. It just seemed like, oh, my God, he's going further back. He's not. Is he really? And then when he bumped into his own guy, it seemed like that sort of changed the play.
Yeah.
Inadvertent as it was. So, Spath, listen, thanks a lot, and congratulations on your gig over there at 10:50.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate it. I'm having a fun time.
10-1?
10-12.
10-12, okay.
12, okay. And I expect we know what you'll be talking about the next couple of days over there.
I think we'll be talking about all these things, but fleshing them out a little bit and probably hearing for some angry callers.
In case somebody listening right now is planning on calling you tomorrow, what's the one question you do not want to hear tomorrow on your show?
Oh boy, that's a good. How about
sick of
Beth? Why do you suck?
Okay.
Now you're almost guaranteeing that someone's going to call in and say
it. Yeah, I get that a lot. I don't know why didn't they overturn the call? I mean, I think asking them why they didn't overturn the call is stupid, because there's no replay angle that shows that they didn't get it. So if you want to argue that they didn't get it to begin with, go for it. You want to argue that the officiating was bad, go for it. But you want to say, why didn't they overturn the call? Because there wasn't anything to overturn it. So,
yeah, I would agree with that.
Yep, that's usually the way it goes. Ugh. But anyway, listen, thanks for the time. Great discussion, and I'm sure we'll be talking again before it's over.
All right, sounds good, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Beth.
Yep, no problem.
Bye-bye.
See you next time. I'm going to turn the heat down. It's a steam bath down
here. It is so hot in here.
God!
What do you have it set on? Do you even know? 70? 70? There's no way he has it set on 70.
God.
Whatsoever. Well, that game sucked. And I really appreciate everybody Facebooking and sending me Twitter wondering if I'm okay. Fake! They don't care if I'm okay. And it's funny. It sucks. It depresses me that your team loses, and I'm bummed out. But I wasn't mad. I only really get mad or angry when they lose a game that they're not supposed to lose.
You're going to bring Char up
as a Michigan fan?
Yeah, I mean, just you talked about how that was like your life.
Ohio State, Michigan? Yeah.
You got to pass the torch on to.
Yeah, with my luck, she'll end up, I'll raise her Wolverine, she'll go to state. I bet my dad was elated, by the way.
Oh, he's a Buckeye fan?
I called yesterday because he went to the game, and I didn't get a good response. He wasn't available when I called, so I asked my mom. I go, so is he pretty pumped up? My mom's like, I don't really think so. He would never admit it to me, though, that he's elated that Ohio State won.
Could you get your daddy on the phone?
But I know he is.
Boy, you know, got so many things in that game. I mean, you, honestly, you could do a 12-hour talk show and still have things to talk about. It was just, it was that good. I was trying to think of, I was texting with a friend of mine, Joe, who lives in the D.C. area. He's a huge Michigan fan, and he had a terrible headache. You know Joe, Joe Betting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joe had a terrible headache this morning, and I said, can you have a couple minutes? I kind of want to talk to somebody who loves Michigan about a couple things. So I asked a few questions.
Why don't you call me?
You weren't as available.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was delicate in asking. Plus, I knew he had a hangover. But anyway, I was reminiscing about the worst defeats I've seen Virginia Tech have.
Yeah.
Because Michigan, not just the Ohio State game, the Michigan State game last year. Those are two horrible losses in games that they played really great teams and played very well. God, the defense had 8 sacks yesterday.
Yeah.
Did Charlton have 3 sacks?
Taco?
Yeah.
God, you know, I don't know exactly how many.
He had a graphic that said 2.5, and then he was in another one later that I thought he got a half a sack.
His best play was he ran Curtis Samuel down from behind. On one of the, which was, he's so good. So was Wormley.
Then the crowd's booing when he's on the ground, like he's trying to fake his way out of the game for a play.
He might have been.
I thought he had a hamstring issue.
Well, he came back in pretty quick. It looked more like a cramp. What did they say?
I don't know. Why would you fake something at that point in the game?
Because their tempo was too fast for Michigan's always had trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I thought playing Indiana would have helped that because nobody's as fast as Indiana.
I just assumed you wouldn't want to lose him for one down.
You're right, but you know you get rotated in and out anyway. It didn't. I wouldn't question it. I mean, it looked close enough not to be questioned, but it wouldn't surprise.
Also,
me.
4.5 minutes left. It was they had sped up. That's true. Anyway,
that game was a perfect example about how every play is not in a vacuum because every play affects the next play, which affects plays. You know, next quarter. Because like I said, that running into the punter didn't matter because they stopped him the next 3 downs, except for the ball got downed on the 5, and which led to the pick 6.
Yes, I guess you could say that.
So
you know what I was impressed with Ohio State, and for the most part, I was really impressed with Michigan the whole game. I was blown away. I was like, this defense is unbelievable. They just got gassed. They did. I mean, they played the game of their lives.
Once again, that's why I would have gone for it on 2. This
when Spate was asking for 2, my attitude was, do it, because it would have been such a shock. It just didn't even cross my mind. I'm sure somebody was thinking about it on Ohio State's side. Well, maybe not. I don't know.
I just think rules in general. I don't know. I would rather be on offense than be on defense, no matter how good your defense is. I'd rather the ball be in my hands because that's how you score.
Yeah, and it looked like Ohio State, you know, they had just driven a long way to miss a short field goal. They drove all the way back to kick the field goal. They got the first touchdown, and then
on 2 plays, they gashed them like crazy.
So it was a great time to just put the whole thing on the line, and who's going to criticize you? Although they just lost a game doing that.
But you know what? Hoke did that in 2013.
Was it 13? Okay,
and they did not get it, and everybody still thought that was the right call. Now, the difference was he had a broken toe. Devin Gardner did.
And it would have been a huge upset.
What were they, a 7-4 team?
Yeah, it would have been a big upset.
I know, but I still like the idea of going for it.
Oh, I did too. I did. When he signaled for it, I thought they were going to do it. I thought, oh my God, what an ending to this game.
It just seemed like the Harbaugh thing to do too.
Yeah, it really did.
The aggressive play call.
But what I was going to say about Ohio State was that drive, and it was the one with Barrett's 41-yard run when they went down and they were stopped in the 3-yard line.
The field goal.
And the guy missed that short field goal. I mean, that just, after getting that whole joint turned around after the Harbaugh penalty, that place was apeshit. And they drove like they did. First they got the touchdown. Then they got the drive to tie it up, and he missed that. How did he miss that?
Oh, my God,
what a choke.
Do you think Tyler Durbin, do you think his parents named him that after Fight Club and Tyler Durden? That was our discussion. That was our discussion while we were watching the game.
I totally knew that.
Right?
What year did Fight Club come out?
2000? No, so you'd have been too young, right?
Yeah, he'd been too young. But was there a book before that?
Oh, yes. Book, right? Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so the book was probably 80s? Or it's got to be one of his parents had to have read the book.
Or wouldn't you think they would know? I don't know the novel. 96 was when the novel came out. 99 is when the movie came out. I don't know how old he is, though. Definitely old enough for the book, right?
Seems like he'd be close. I mean, if we just Google it, it's got to be out there in social media, right?
Durbin. Well, and the same goes for the Raekwon McMillan, the stud linebacker for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Raekwon is spelled the same way as a member of the Wu-Tang Clan, Raekwon the Chef. So it's like, come on, his parents are totally Wu-Tang fans, right? No, wait, nobody just makes up the name Raekwon.
No, that's unique.
It's the only Raekwon I've ever heard of is the member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Well, what I was going to say, though, is when he missed that short field goal, and you saw Urban on the sideline, just like, oh, no, that did not happen. And it was, I mean,
searching
how
for an ambient.
Could he miss that?
And
then,
I know.
And then they get the ball right back, and they roll right back down the field. That was really, I mean, that was some really clutch plays. Really
game.
Determined. I mean, that was one of those things they just, I mean, I have to give Ohio State credit as much as I do not like that team. I don't like that coach.
That is a good football team, though, man.
They're a great football team. Those are two great football teams. It was a great, great football game. That's why I kind of hate that there's so much focus on the officiating. It was shitty. There's no question. But
I think
it seems like that's what we'll talk about 10 years from now.
Well, yeah. Oh, well, that'll be one of the more infamous plays in that rivalry's history.
Yeah.
Easily. By the way, the schedule next year is a bitch and a half, so it's not like I don't know if you're going to expect a rematch like that next year.
Well, what does Ohio State lose this year? Who loses more talent?
I think Michigan does. Michigan loses a lot on both lines, defensive and
offensive.
Harbaugh's
got to have stuff coming in the pike, though. That's,
sure,
he's
you know,
got all
a
those
lot
great
people,
recruits.
A lot of people worry because, oh, my gosh, all those seniors. But, you know, 18 true freshmen played.
What about all these guys he had slumber
history.
Parties with?
Yeah. Nordine didn't do anything this year. I know. That's funny. The MVP for Michigan in that game was the punter, Kenny Allen.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal.
He was.
And he
kicked that field goal that hit the bar in the middle.
Yeah,
that
the flagpole.
I don't know why I got off on that.
You ever been to that stadium?
I saw a Rolling Stones concert.
Oh, that's
there.
Right. I think I've asked you that before. It is a pretty wild stadium.
Yeah, it's really cool. No question. You know what? I read a story. It was in yesterday's paper, I think. And it was about these two Michigan fans that live in Columbus. And it just got me thinking of how absolutely stupid we have become. I mean, this election, I think, has been embarrassing for everyone. It doesn't matter which side you're on. There's people acting like complete fools.
College football fans have always been fools, though.
But this is beyond, to me, this is beyond the pale. Let me see if I can find it. If not, we'll clunk it in part two. What do I do with it? Although I don't, for the life of me, what I do not understand is people who know they're going to take shit and still have to wear all their stuff to the game.
Guilty.
If I went to a Michigan game at Ohio State, there is no fucking way I'm wearing my Michigan jersey and my Michigan hat.
There's just no way. I've done it plenty of times. My buddy and I used to go down about six straight times.
But wouldn't you rather just watch the game and not take a bunch of shit from people?
Well, you know, the people that give shit back tend to get more shit, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? So people will yell stuff at. I told you the cab driver dropped us off. We stayed downtown, so we took a cab to the game. Huge mistake. Dropped us off in the middle of Fraternity Row.
Probably did it on purpose.
I'm sure it was done. There's no doubt in my mind it was on purpose. So you know, people yell, people say stuff, and you smile and wave. Okay, dicks, whatever. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm not going to get in a fight with people.
No, I'd rather just blend in and watch the game.
Yeah, but I have no problem. I don't know. You got to support the team, as David Putty would say.
Here's Paul Hess and Jeff Dennis. This is Brandon Folsom's article in the Free Press. Which one is talking here? One of these guys is, when my kids were growing up, their friends couldn't come in the house if they wore an Ohio State shirt or sweatshirt, Hess said. Mothers in our neighborhood hated me because I'd keep their kids out in the cold in the winter. I hope he's joking. He grew up in Dayton, Ohio, went to school at UM. He spent 7 years in Ann Arbor while in college, never missed a home football game. After he graduated, he relocated to Columbus for work and has been there 30 years. The attorney hasn't been shy about which team he roots for either. Wears a UM tie to work, runs in Wolverine gear, and displays a school banner on his porch.
Cool.
He catches heat from the locals about his fandom regularly, but has never thought about hiding his passion for the Wolverines. That would definitely be the path of least resistance, wouldn't it? I love my alma mater. I love Michigan. But just because I don't live in Ann Arbor doesn't mean I shouldn't root for my team. The one concession I do make is I have a blue car, and I'll always have a blue car, but I don't put any Michigan memorabilia on it because it gets broken into around here. That's something Dennis, the other guy, quickly learned when he moved to Columbus. Lifelong Michigan fan, blah, blah, blah. We look at Columbus after he graduated from Ohio U. One of his first experiences as a UM fan living on OSU soil was getting his car broken into because he had a Wolverine steering wheel cover. The assailants didn't take anything from the car, but they did rip up the cover.
Jerks.
When you go to the grocery store every week during football season, you wear Michigan gear, there's always at least two or three people who feel compelled to say something to me or my three-year-old. They rag his three-year-old?
That's ridiculous.
The most frustrating stuff is when people say things to my kid about how terrible a person I am. You can't go to a restaurant or even Kroger without someone saying something to my kid. You get yelled at by some weirdos, but you must have tough skin. Neither Hess nor Dennis goes to Ohio Stadium anymore because when Ohio State hosts Michigan, the things that are said to them. I went to every game when I lived in Ann Arbor, never missed 1 minute of a game. But the last time I went to a game in Columbus in 1988, it was the last time because after every first down, I'd hear someone say, "Your family sucks!" or "You suck!" My hat got stolen and thrown away, and people weren't friendly or respectful. It was 3.5 hours of total misery. Said he didn't remember. Hess said he didn't remember anyone treating OSU fans that way when the Buckeyes would travel to play the Wolverines.
Oh, also, I'm sure it's happened.
He also doesn't hear negative comments like that at two or three games he goes to in Ann Arbor nowadays. Dennis says he feels the same as Hess, and he has even turned down tickets to watch Michigan play OSU in the Horseshoe. Why not just wear no Michigan stuff and go to the game?
Yeah, but you should be able to wear
stuff
and not be assaulted.
Of course you should be, but why not just be practical and enjoy the fucking game?
Well, I don't know. There's plenty of people that wear stuff and don't get harassed.
I'm not going to insert myself into a dangerous situation like that where my kids or me might be harmed. Somehow, some way, though, Hess and Dennis feel the verbal lashings they receive are still worth wearing the Wolverine gear in public.
Yeah, see?
I'll be doing a disservice to me, my dad, and my kid if I ever hide my pride for you. I'm not going to... Oh, God. I'm not going to listen to anyone's opinion about not embracing the things I love and want to share with my family. Michigan football is definitely one of those things I embrace, but it's annoying dealing with people sometimes.
Yeah, he's not the problem. They are. I told you once we went down, this is when I was a kid, and because we have Michigan plates, they broke our windows. But the funny thing is, you know, my dad was a Buckeye fan. So then he had these giant scarlet and gray Block O, one that said Ohio, magnets that you could put on one car or another. So we did that every other time we went down. And then someone stole those off our car.
Damn.
Yeah.
The matchup between Michigan and Ohio State, Jay just handed me this, has been anticipated for weeks, even more so in recent days, with fan bases upping the ante of jabs and cracks. Viewers of a photo circulating since Saturday, however, call one such joke classless, even disgusting.
This is the Flint one.
Truth reads the caption of the Twitter image posted by at Barstool OSU, which shows a group of Ohio State fans posing with a banner, "Michigan girls, more diseased than Flint water."
How topical.
Is it? It's just stupid. I mean, is that really
it's not that
funny?
I
mean...
This is the other thing I was saying on Saturday. I was really disappointed at the
signs
at game day.
I only saw 2 hours of game day, so I didn't see that much of the signs.
They were all about, you know, Harbaugh picking his nose and eating it. They were all the same thing. But there were, I don't know, I was just surprised at the lack of creativity.
Oh! All right, for part two, well, we got a couple things. One, did you see any of the Thanksgiving Day parade?
No.
They replayed it Saturday night.
Prime time?
Yes.
Why?
Mark, I have to believe it does monster ratings. I know the parade itself does huge ratings, like shocking ratings.
Really?
Would blow your fucking mind ratings. But I don't know that they've ever done that before.
You know, it's funny. I had the other parade on for Charlotte just to look at the stupid balloons. The one in New York, because they have the giant balloons.
Yeah,
they don't have that.
They have some pretty big ones.
The balloons.
Yeah, they had some pretty big balloons. I was surprised. But there's a story about this lady who all her life has wanted to go to the parade, and when she was 79, she vowed. That's the same. Well, when you hear the story, you'll have many questions. She's been to the parade every year since she was 79, and it gets a little weird.
I expected
to wonder about humanity.
I would think after when she finally makes it, checks it off her bucket list, and just goes, "It's a little boring. It's boring. I'm cold. I'm sick of standing around. I'm going home."
She loves it. It's the highlight of her year.
It's on TV.
I think. Anyway, yeah, there's that. And there's a lot more to talk about, too. We haven't talked days. We haven't talked
about the Lions.
Aretha.
There's a great O.J.
You won't show an anthem, you own anthem.
There's a great O.J. Simpson story.
Oh, great. Well, we're hopping. We'll be back for part two. Stand by. See ya.